blessings and curses, the blessed and the cursed, these two camps or two categories are laid out for us in the text, the readings this morning. And without asking you to raise your hands, perhaps we might think in our hearts, where do I see or consider myself? If you are to look at the category of the blessed, first outlined by Jesus, the poor, the hungry, the weeping, those hated, excluded, and rejected because of the name of Jesus. I'm not sure how we think of ourselves in relation to that category. But right off the top, if you say the rich, the well-fed now, those who are laughing, and those who are well-spoken of or well-considered, I suspect we might easily raise our hands there. So curiously, there is this reversal of fortunes, this reversal of order, a reversal of values that Jesus lays out for us here in the Beatitudes, or the Sermon on the Mount as we come to know it through the Gospel of Matthew, here the Sermon on the Plain according to Luke. A little bit of a different emphasis, as much as it's essentially the same message. We in culture and life, and I suspect in most cultures, consider those who are endowed with material things, who have, in a way, nothing to worry about because of their resources, generally we consider them blessed. Here Jesus kind of opens our eyes to another moment, a question of how we look at, how we consider the source of our blessing in life. Essentially, the underlying question is, who or what do you trust in life? Where is your security? Where is your foundation? Where is your rest? Where is your comfort? That's the question for us today. Well, the poor, the hungry, those in grief, and those rejected by community clearly have nothing tangible on which to look and say, here, I am comforted. I'm comforted by my stuff, by the resources all around, or by the nest egg that I have been diligently squirreling away all my years. There is source of security and comfort for me. I can lean back in the chair and say, well, you have done well for yourself now. Take your ease kind of moment. No, the poor have none of that. They have an abiding message that is from as they look to themselves, as they look at what is around them and say, ultimately, here I am without. Here I am invited, I am teased, I am provoked into hopelessness, to despair, to despondency. I suggest not. The blessed, the poor, in Jesus' account, are those who look to themselves and say, I have never had, owned, possessed, no comfort, no assurance, no consolation, no rest, except for Christ my Lord, period. They may have resources, material in time, but never have looked on them to say, now I am approved. Now I am well regarded. Now I can rest. But have looked upon those resources and said, here is something that God has blessed me with. He has entrusted me with. He has said, here, be steward, These things have never belonged to me. They have always been my Lord's entrustment to me. So a part of our trouble this morning is that we have but a portion of the message, the blessings and the woes. And kind of the ethical aspect of the message comes in, you know, Sundays to follow. But I believe it's cut short in this way that we might focus on the blessing and the woes, that we might look at them and look at our lives, ourselves, our hearts to ask that question, whom, in whom, and what do I honestly trust? For sometimes there are moments in life, and they tend to be shocking moments, when the things that we have been leaning upon or resting in suddenly are taken away, and we find ourselves, you know, the rug pulled out from under you, landing flat, and say, ah, now I get to meet myself. Now I get to see what has really been going on, how perhaps I have been drifting along in the current, how I have become oblivious to the condition of those who have not had nor enjoyed this support, the condition of those who have but to look to God. Apart from you, dear Lord, I have no strength, no aptitude. I find no rest apart from you, apart from the peace that you give, apart from the assurance. So here a moment of looking then at ourselves and recognizing that if we're just to look at this according to the material standard, many, I suspect most of us, fall under the category of woe. That's striking. It's a wake-up call. Wake up. Look at. Recognize in whom you trust. So there are some who are not with us this morning who are wrestling with, I suspect, essentially just this. Will I recover? Will my strength return? Will I be able to stand and walk? Or will I simply be cared for by others? Will I have my sense of self? Will I be grounded in time? Will I recognize my family? Will this come back? Or will I forever be adrift? Talking, engaging, but not making much sense. These moments, they come without any of us anticipating or expecting them. They just arrive. They just show up at the door. No one says, you know, that last week I was in church, that was my last Sunday that I'll be with the family in church. No one sees nor recognizes that moment. Trust me. It just happens. Slips up on us and poof, it's gone. So there's the moment then to say, no, I learn to trust my God, with all of these things, to presume upon none of them, but to journey in life with this simple, singular, wholehearted focus. We are the Lord's servants. The stuff he gives to us, he gives as a trust to steward. And then the purpose is, what is my stewarding for? And the answer is, for the kingdom of God. For the kingdom of God, for the glory of God, and yes, indeed, for the rescue of people, for the meeting of their needs, for as much as the Old Testament reading says, cursed is the one who trusts in man, there is need, I believe, for some fine print there. We all need to trust people. It's imperative for our wholeness and our well-being to be able to trust others. We're not trusting them in the sense of, I trust you for the things that God alone can give. That's where we cross the line. But we can trust others in the sense of, I trust you to be the face of God to me. I trust you to be the hands of God to me. I trust you to be the heart of God to me. And without that kind of trust, we are literally insane. Without that moment, we are made, you know, created from the first day of time in the sense of not good for the man, not just about gender, not good for the individual to be alone. And so God creates a community in this way. But then suddenly there is this temptation. I have loved you, not just your person, but I have loved you in a way as an object in my life. I have learned to lean upon you and to rest. And I've forgotten to thank God for you, to be grateful for your presence in my life, to rejoice in the gift of you. So I speak in a way of family and marriage, but also honestly far beyond that. For we know no marriage exists wholly or fully just as a couple. Every marriage needs community. Every marriage needs friends, needs life beyond just the two of us. I think I can say all of us that are kind of too close, you know, cabin fever kind of moments, you begin this sense of, I need a break. You know, I need more than this, as much as the two and the relationship, the bond are treasured. So behind all of our moments in life, we are being invited then into this trusting Godness with everything. Who are the poor? Well, at the beginning, we might have raised our hands and said, well, not me, not quite. Who are the rich? Oh, yeah, I recognize that. I've had enough to eat. I'm not particularly grieving, apart from just the general nature of life. And I think people generally speak well of me. The poor, the hungry, the broken with life in its entirety, the ones who have spoken for God or for Christ are alienated, put out, spurned. Those are the blessed ones. There they are. And so as Jesus preaches and he's laying out these categories, the crowd is there and the disciples are there, and he speaks directly to the disciples, but we should know the crowd is there hearing as well. This moment that we can see as, while the things that he is saying are near and dear, particularly important to these, you know, narrow ones, everybody in the broader sense is invited to hear as well. The invitation is open and out there. Jesus, in a way, knocking at the door to say, you have come to be healed. You have come to receive the teaching of the Messiah, the Christ, the Son of God. I invite you beyond that periphery. I invite you into the fuller sense of this, trusting God, trusting Jesus. Does he look like the Son of God? The crucifixion tells us no. He had no beauty, no charisma, you know, nothing that we should desire nor esteem him. So the humanity of Jesus is there, and he's teaching and healing, and it's an immensely popular moment. But he looks to the disciples and says, brothers, look beyond this popularity. Look beyond this success and recognize the poverty of your existence. Recognize your stunning, enduring, profound need for God. He alone can rescue. He alone can raise you from yourself. He alone can transform and take you beyond this kind of ugly humanity. He alone can make you whole. He alone is worthy of your trust. Oh, but trusting him, live, walk fully, trustingly, with courage. That is, looking not just to the moment, but to the horizon of eternity. Looking into heaven and saying, there is my heritage, my destiny, and pulling in a way heaven right into the present. You know, the certainty of the glory of God in its remoteness is meant for us to reach out and bring in. And so we've known this in history. There have been poor who have been some pretty rotten, bad folk who might point to their poverty and say, look, there's the cause of it. I never had nothing in life, and life has been cruel and robbed me of much. And then there have been poor who have said, oh, here I am in my circumstance, but I have the loving, saving, redeeming God with me, and I am beyond the stuff around me. And the same goes for the rich. Oh, look at me, how well I'm adorned, and the lavish way in which I live. A dead cave inside, a tomb inside. So Jesus warns over and over, be careful with money. Be careful with stuff. Don't let it deprive you of your humanity, your dignity, your very soul. Your very soul. We rest ourselves in Christ. He is our Savior, loves, blesses us. May we know him beyond the stuff, the fullness of his presence, his love, and his joy. In Jesus' name, amen.